Hello and welcome to ELT Under the Covers Teaching Methodology Exposed. In this video, we are going to be looking at teaching methodology that goes by a couple of names. Goes by Learn by Teaching, but originally by, and I see if I can get the pronunciation correct, Lernen durch Lehren, or otherwise known as LDL. But first, introduction. I'm Neil of Team Teacher.
Hello everybody, it's Professor Rich. We've got to do a bit of analysis of this learning by teaching, something that I'm absolutely fascinated by. I think it's a very interesting way of teaching, and it's not something that I've ever specialized in. So, I think you made the comment just before, prepare to be educated. So I'm preparing myself right now to be educated.
Okay, well, that's a good intro into jumping into a brief background of this methodology, where it came from, how it works, etc. So let's go. Learning by teaching method, or in German, Lernen durch Lehren, aka LDL, was developed by Jean-Paul Martin in the 1980s, but the idea stretches back to ancient times. Basically, students learn by teaching their peers and being taught by their peers. It's like a merging of three methods: the plastic platypus learning, Feynman technique, and the flipped classroom.
Relax.
You have the explaining aspect of plastic platypus learning, the simplification process of the Feynman technique, and the focus on application in class of the flipped classroom. Also baked into the cake is other life skills like organization, critical thinking, collaboration, planning, etc., along with some psychological benefits, as well as the task of imparting knowledge itself to others, should satisfy the need for security, i.e. building confidence, for social connection, social recognition, and ultimately for self-realization. This secondary aspect is referred to by Jean-Paul Martin as like building neural networks to develop the student's what's called web sensibility, a cognitive and emotional independence. So not only are they acquiring new knowledge, language, but also they're getting the benefits of everything that comes around with trying to obtain that, put it together and teach it as well. So it's hitting a whole bunch of different things just outside of that one knowledge or language point. How it works is that students are put into groups of no more than three people, and they are provided with information and materials that are not yet ordered. And then they are faced with the task of transforming this information into knowledge by evaluating, weighing, choosing what's important, what's not, what to best focus on to get to the core. And they do this by means of intense communication. The material is worked on didactically and methodologically with the aim to make sure that their peers understand this information, the message, the topic, the grammar points, whatever it is. And it's up to the students to decide the best ways to deliver those materials, from presentation to in-class activities, comprehension questions, quizzes, lead discussions, etc., whatever they feel is necessary. For me, it is the embodiment of the age-old adage, teaching is the best way to learn. What do you think?
Yeah, As I say, I'm just as fascinated. I'm even more fascinated than I was to begin with. So, I kind of wish that I'd experimented a little bit more with this sort of stuff. I do have some limited experience with it, but actually, my experimentation with this kind of thing tended to actually be pre-diploma. So we're going back sort of 5 years now when I actually did do a bit of this stuff. And it's something I'd really like to try now. I'd really, really like to try, but it does seem like something that you would need a group class for. So it might not be so applicable with one-to-one because you have, I mean, the students kind of decide in groups like what they're going to focus on and stuff, don't they?
I kind of, yeah, well, how it works, they are. I think it depends on the class and the level and stuff like that, but generally they are given the material that they can work from. Because you've got to remember as well with Jean-Paul Martin and him doing LDL is he's French, but he was teaching in Germany, so he's teaching French. So the kids are teaching a topic, but it's in their second language as well, so they've kind of
Right.
so he gives them a lot of material, I believe. But in regards to I think you have generally they say to do it in groups, but I think you could do it one to one. And the way I thought about this would be that it would basically be more like you're less of a teacher, more of a personal trainer. You that someone comes to you and says,
Right.
I've been working on my blah 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 grammar point, or and I just want someone to kind of have a conversation with me and nudge me if I'm correct me if I'm going in the wrong direction or something like that. So that's
Yeah.
kind of how I would see it, that like they come to the individual class with a whole bunch of knowledge and an aim for themselves, and you're kind of there to kind of evaluate it and
Yeah.
kind of give feedback.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's slowly becoming clearer in my mind from your explanation. Absolutely fascinated by a lot of many elements of it. The rather funkily named plastic platypus
So
learning as well.
you might not, I don't know if you're aware of, so plastic platypus learning is the ELT name, I believe, for rubber duck debugging, which is a
Right.
programming technique which programmers use to find bugs in their code. And they do it by
Yeah.
trying to simplify and explain every line of the code to themselves in order to kind of like. It's kind of, I kind of see it as like chunking reading, or when you tell students to read instead of from left to right, from right to left, or the end backwards, because your mind, you have that psychological thing where your mind fills in the mistakes if you're reading it as normal. So I that's how I basically see this plastic platypus learning as it applies
That
here.
sounds really different, though, what you're just saying, because you're saying what, because as far as I understand it, I guess there are two techniques that might have the same aim, right? Which is to, without the aid of another person, you're attempting to find the gaps in your knowledge. So the objective is the same, right? But I mean, one part that you're kind of leaving out in your explanation, Neil, is that is the actual the presence of the plastic platypus or of the rubber duck, right? Which is the part that actually really fascinates me. I mean, actually having a little mascot, and talking to it. I've never done it. I've never done it. I've never told a student to do it either. And I don't think I've actually ever come across it. And I find the idea fascinating. If they, I
Well, I
mean,
think it's not that. I think more often it gets kind of the idea gets snowballed into the Feynman technique, because he says to imagine the child and
Yeah.
imagine talking to the child, whereas the plastic
Right.
platypus is literally there. And
Yeah.
I myself, I did forget to mention that, but I actually was
Yeah.
thinking, is it necessary or not? And I'd be
Right.
interested to try actually have like a mascot that you
Yeah. Well,
little idiot on your desk that you're like, I'm
this is
just
the
putting
explain
stuff
like
together.
I'm 5 years old thing, isn't it? It's like a that's a it's a very popular Reddit forum, explain like I'm five. And Yeah, pretending that you're explaining to a child that's 5 years old could definitely be an interesting way of testing your own comprehension. But yeah, I don't know, something about this idea of having a little creature, a little plastic creature has really stuck in my head, and I'm really interested in it now. I really want to try it. I've got a Daruma on my where is my Daruma? I've got my Daruma here, so I could use him.
Yeah.
Daruma, I'm going to tell you all about learning del learn after Neil has taught me more about it to test my own understanding. Yeah, fascinating,
But
really
with
interesting.
I just wanted to make a point as well. I got really stuck for a while with it. Well, isn't it just the same as flipped classroom? And
Right.
I think with flipped class, the flipped classroom, the aim is could be quite. It could be broader. So not they the flipped classroom, maybe you have the students present their ideas, or and it could be done individually, or it's they learn a bunch of math stuff, and then they come into the class, and then they get given activities where they have to solve it in groups. So it could be like kind of group work. So it's just that with the there's the focus is on knowledge outside for homework, inside it's practice,
That's
basically.
right.
Whereas the LDL, the learn by teaching, it has to be you. They have to teach. It's a
Right.
key point. It's a key point. They have to teach, and
Yeah.
they have to do it as a group.
That's
And
right.
so he makes a big thing of how important it is. That there is collaboration, there is this process of trying to simplify and getting to the minds of your peers of how can I make this understandable to them. And I think that's where I was kind of putting in the plastic platypus and the Feynman technique, because there's that simplification. There's a definite benefit, in my opinion, to just like cutting away the chaff, reducing it down, like doing multiple drafts when you're writing.
Yeah.
And I that's because personally I found that very helpful when I was learning teaching.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just to expand on that point you were making about the flipped classroom, I think in many sort of general conversations about this sort of stuff in teachers' rooms and things like that, I think people are essentially using LDL and flipped classroom interchangeably without really understanding the difference. I've definitely come across people talking about flipped classroom as if it means the students teaching the rest of the class, but actually it doesn't at all.
Not necessarily.
It's no, not necessarily. It's not even a fundamental part of it. The flipped classroom is more about, it's more basically the kind of, as you were saying, the studying and like the basically everything that the students can do on their own, they do at home on their own. And then they come to the class and sort of implement their learning.
Yeah.
So it's like they sort of they learn and they study and they research at home, and then they come into the class and they give a
I
presentation,
think
they
a
talk, they
great analogy
use it.
is a science experiment. There's two parts of the science experiment. There's the planning, the creating, the drafting of the experiment, what you're going to do, what results you expect, all that sort of stuff. And then there's doing the actual experiment.
Yeah.
And I think all the planning they do at home, the actual experiment they do in the class. Whereas
Yeah.
before, it might have been the case of, you would do the planning in one class, and the next class you do the experiment. Okay, so I kind of want to go into a little bit further detail, especially about the kind of ideas and the thoughts about and the kind of philosophy. And I think one of the best people to do that would be actually John Paul Martin. Now, we actually have a some footage. Where he's talking about this, he's in French. He's got some subtitles. I'm sorry, the subtitles aren't so great, but there's some in-class footage, and I think you could get a general idea of what he's going for. And it's interesting to kind of see him in action as well. So
All right.
let's take a look at that.
All right, great. And just for context, Jean-Paul Martin, so he's the guy who invented LDL,
Yes.
right?
In Eichstätt in Bavaria, a teaching discovery was made at the university, which has already successfully managed to change the way classes in Germany are taught. Learning through teaching is the name of the method used by a professor for French language didactics at the Willibald Gymnasium in Eichstätt. The classroom becomes his teaching laboratory.
Nächten wunderbar geborgen, erwarten wir getrost, was kommen mag. Gott ist mit uns am Abend und am Morgen und ganz gewiss an jedem neuen Tag. Amen. Im Namen des Vaters und des Sohnes.
Wow, starting with the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was a Christian university, but hey ho. Well,
apparently so. Yeah, apparently so.
As we mentioned, we now find ourselves in Bavaria, a land of unusual coalitions. This is Jean-Paul Martin, professor of French and creator of a new teaching method.
C'est tout ce que je voulais dire. Maintenant, on continue.
Professor Martin only begins his well-prepared French lessons, but then the students take over. He understands his role to be somewhat of a midwife within the classroom.
What? He understands his role to be somewhat of a midwife.
It's an interesting way
of putting it.
I know. I would have gone with like a guide or, you know, like a helper.
Yeah, facilitator maybe.
Yeah.
Is that what a midwife is? I guess in a way a midwife is a facilitator.
They are a facilitator, yeah.
Kind of like they've got
natural. But...
It's kind of like they've got the specific instance before the category there, aren't they? You know?
I kind of feel like they're trolling him a little bit.
The Schülers. Und denke, die sitzen da, die sind vielleicht müde. Und dann, wo könnte ich ansetzen, um diese möglichen 100% der Aufmerksamkeit so an mich ziehen, dass sie sich mit dem Stoff beschäftigen? Da ich weiß, dass sie sehr viele Potenzen haben, ich muss sie nur wecken, ich muss sie nur holen, dann versuche ich denen einen Stoff anzubieten, wo ich das Gefühl habe, aha, die beißen an. Und dann liefern sie selber etwas, was mir wieder die Möglichkeit gibt, wieder zu holen. Ja, und dann kommt es an mich.
Here a student has prepared something regarding the origins of the chanson on the battlefields of the Middle Ages.
Et d'un prêtre. Qu'est-ce que vous imaginez? Pourquoi est-ce qu'on a chanté ces chansons?
Alors, il y avait un héros, qui a fait des bonnes choses, et moi je veux que tout le monde sait ce qu'il a fait. Alors je chante sans...
Yeah, so just to kind of remind the... our viewers about this, that it's a second language classroom that's going on here. These are German students who are speaking French. So we've actually got a real language learning situation as well, although...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they are literally teaching something that's using an L2.
Yeah.
Yeah, using a second language. It's pretty advanced.
I don't speak very good French, so I can't really understand exactly what they're saying, but I feel interested. I kind of want to know. And if it's working on me like that, with a very limited understanding of French and not a great deal of interest to learn French either, then it works.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got that, the magical engagement that we often talk about in our interviews with people.
Une autre point, c'est l'unité. Ich versuche, dass sie sich sicher fühlen. Ich gebe keine Noten.
No
Wenn
grades.
Ich Noten gebe, dann induziere ich
Angst. Right, well, I don't agree with that, but alright.
Angst. Ich gestalte meinen Unterricht so, dass die positiven Eigenschaften der Schüler so weit sichtbar werden, dass sie automatisch von den anderen soziale Anerkennung bekommen. Und das muss man oft freischaufeln, weil wenn ein Schüler sehr viel weiß, aber sehr introvertiert ist, die sollen die anderen sehen, was er alles in sich hat. Also muss man für die Schüler eine Bühne schaffen. Und nicht nur, sondern man muss den auf der Bühne Stehenden, denen helfen, das so zu sich so zu präsentieren, dass sie geliebt werden.
Non, j'imagine la situation. On est sur le champ de bataille et les soldats disent « kein Bock ». Alors, il y a quelqu'un qui arrive qui dit «
Charlemagne va être la guerre. Alors les soldats disent ah ouais super. Bon c'est ça tu veux dire?
Man, passt du mir auf, wenn die Schüler vorne sitzen und was erzählen, als wenn der Lehrer die ganze Zeit.
Ja.
Sind alle mit eingebunden.
Und das ist eben der berühmte Effekt, wenn man jemandem Mathe erklärt zum Beispiel, versteht man es selber umso besser.
Ist man auf einer Linie sozusagen, ja. Auf einer Wellenlänge, dann versteht man es halt auch besser.
Machen Sie das auch in anderen Fächern, in anderen Stunden? Nee, oder ist das?
Nee, nur in Französisch. Wir haben nie so viel geredet letztes Jahr wie dieses Jahr. Vielleicht im ganzen Jahr so viel wie jetzt, die Wochen bis jetzt. Und ja. Das merkt man aber nicht so, dass er so viel verlangt, weil jetzt einfach alles ein bisschen, ja nicht spielerischer, aber einfach leichter kommt.
Jeder Mensch weiß irgendwas, was die anderen nicht wissen. Und das kommt halt dann zutage, wenn man das dann dementsprechend nachbohrt und dann ist das eine Bereicherung für die anderen auch.
Jeder verbessert halt den anderen und deswegen ist es nicht so, man ist halt nicht so eingeschüchtert, wenn man immer hört, oh Gott, ich habe so viel falsch gemacht, sondern man denkt sich, andere machen auch Fehler und jeder hilft halt dem anderen, dass er halt weiter vorankommt.
Eben. Es ist ja nicht schlimm, wenn man einen Fehler macht. Dafür bin ich ja im Unterricht. Ich muss ja aus diesen Fehlern, die ich mache, lernen. Und die anderen lernen mit, indem sie mich verbessern.
Ist es auch die Überzeugung der anderen oder der meisten Lehrer?
Hier in der Schule nicht.
Ja.
Burn.
Heute früh die Schüler hat beschrieben, ja.
Yeah, about old Jean-Paul, when he was saying that, it was just like, oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Other teachers in the school. I'm the one with method. Anyway, we should get him on. By the way, he's still kicking around. I'll send him a contact request.
Okay, if you're watching, please reply.
Yeah, he's retired now. I mean, he's gonna be in his 70s, isn't he? So, but it'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? Fascinating.
Would be.
These Epen. Die wurden auf dem Schlachtfeld vorgetragen, damit die Soldaten motiviert wären zu kämpfen. Es ist doch toll! Weil erstens wäre ich nie darauf gekommen. Und dann fragen wir uns, ja, kann es sein? Ich sage, ja, das ist da im Text, wieso denn? Ach so und so. Das heißt, unterrichten heißt Inkohärenzen, Widersprüche, entstehen lassen, damit sie geklärt werden. Warum? Weil Menschen reden dann nur zusammen und kommunizieren nur dann, wenn etwas nicht klar ist. Also mein Unterricht schafft Unklarheiten. Und der traditionelle Unterricht versucht immer Klarheit.
Pause on that a second. So he just made a comment. He said, people only communicate when something's not clear. I wonder if that's the case. I think people certainly, something not being clear can certainly be a motivation for communication. I believe that it's often referred to in language teaching as the information gap. Mm-hmm. And you'll sometimes create an information gap in order to facilitate conversation.
Yeah, I think he's referring more to for clarity. So, you know, like that they explain something, oh, it didn't land, so I've got to refine it and give it again and yada yada yada, and I think from my understanding when I'm watching this, he's talking about that process of kind of like simplifying or trying to land your mark in terms of what you're communicating and it being received and understood.
Yeah,
I'm not sure about the broader idea that we only communicate.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I suppose we could also bear in mind that this translations might not necessarily be the best in the world. I mean, the text themselves is awful, isn't it? So, yeah.
All right. Zu schaffen, was auch nicht ganz falsch ist, weil wir beides brauchen, wir Menschen. Wir brauchen Unklarheit, damit wir angeregt werden, die aus dieser Unklarheit Klarheit zu machen. Sonst sind wir strukturiert dialektisch. So.
Like one of the things that I like about it and one of the things that I gathered kind of from the interviews and from him is It seems to the students it really creates like a level playing field. Like there's no smarter student or, you know, dumber student because there's no grades. So I presume that he will have to grade them, but I presume that he's doing that based on the work that they present and, you know, he probably gives them feedback, and then, you know, they learn at the end of the year what their grades is. There's no kind of like exams, I don't believe. But also this idea that, you know, okay, maybe you know a lot, but then when you come to teach or present and you do a lecture and you're focusing on all the information, but all you see all your class is kind of like, you know, withering away under boredom. And I think at one point he kind of comes in and he's kind of like, you need to be a bit more, this guy's dying on the battlefield. So it kind of doesn't, it helps students as well to learn to communicate, I feel, not just in terms of, you know, using the correct language, second language, but in, you know, teaching them, oh, maybe you should include a little bit more to be engaging when you're doing a lecture. And, you know, there's other clips that we didn't see, but all these students having really cool ideas, because not everyone does all these lectures. They often are doing pair work and other different scenarios that are didactic. And they can get quite creative, and I'll come back to that later. But what did you think?
Yeah, I'm really into it, and I really want to try it, and I really wish that I had a group class to be able to really dive into that. I think that from the video we watched, I don't think there's a huge, it doesn't completely break down how it's done. I think I would need to read a bit more or see a bit more before I actually had a go at really doing that. But I mean, obviously, you know, you've done things where you know, pretty much everyone who's taught languages has probably done like a jigsaw reading, right? Where half the class read one text, the other half read another text, and then you put them in pairs and they have to explain parts of the text they read to the other person, mm-hmm. which is something that I think, you know, there's obviously an overlap there with this methodology of LDL. But I'm really fascinated in trying these things out in the pure form. You know, I think you try it out in the pure form and then you take the pieces you like and mix it up with your like special sauce, right?
Yeah.
That's certainly what I did with TBL, did it in the very pure form, you know, because you always hear people saying, you know, oh, you know, TBL Lite's the way to go because the pure form, blah, blah, blah. And I never would have realized otherwise. I just would have went along with this TBL Lite, which is what everyone seems to do when they do TBL. But I did like the pure form TBL and found that I really liked it. And actually really my the way that I do TBL tends to be more towards the pure form than most teachers who'll do, you know, task-based learning in the way that they just kind of do a bit of a task and, you know, play it fast and loose with the way you do it, which is fine as well. You know, but I think in order to discover what works for you as an individual teacher, you should go that way. So that's what I would like to do. I'd like to really actually give that a go. And I think the next time I have access to a
learn the class, rules before you break them. Into it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. But no, it's absolutely fascinating. You can see the passion in this guy. You know, he's giving off Michelle Thomas vibes there with his with his concern for the students' learning and also his emphasis on it's not the learners don't have problems, only the teacher has problems. So it's all, the emphasis is all on the teacher there, or that any problem the learner has, the teacher has to solve. He has that kind of emphasis.
Yeah.
I'm not quite, personally, I don't think I'd go as far as to, you know, not give grades and stuff like that. I think grades can be useful. And I know you were complimenting him on that he's got this kind of no student left behind mentality, but I think you can still have that. Even with giving grades.
I mean, there's parts of my, I say that because there's parts of my education where I've done NVQs, National Vocational Qualifications, where you don't get grades, but you do get grades in that, you know, you do all the work. It's just your grades are given to you from observation rather than, you know, preparing, you know, like essays or, you know, passing exams, that sort of thing. And I feel like I'm apologizing for him because I don't feel like he was being clear, but I think that's the idea with the LDL. But to touch on one of your points, you were like, you'd like to know more about how would you apply this in an English classroom, you know, like doing it for English language speakers, how could you do it step by step? But it was actually further developed by Joachim Greisger, who was kind of a mentoree of Teacher Martin. He went on to create Basic Global English, or BGE. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but basically he's taken LDL and he's kind of put it into a curriculum, and with that curriculum it's kind of how to use LDL with teaching English in a more structured way, I guess. I don't have you ever heard of BGE?
Not very much, really. I'm not that familiar with it. It would be interesting to see an effective example. Maybe that's something we can look at in future.
Yeah.
And do kind of a follow-up to this and see how it is. Because, yeah, seeing this applied in a real classroom, I think, would be absolutely fascinating. And I think we do need to do a bit more discussion and analysis on that. But my interest has absolutely been piqued.
Yeah.
And I think it's exactly the kind of thing that we like to talk about on this show. Different ways of doing things. You know, and that's the thing as well, because going into this, I very much had this kind of casual teacher's room discussion of a flipped classroom idea of what this was about. And then actually seeing the man himself talk about it, I start to realize actually there's a bit more to this than just getting someone up in front of the class to teach something to the other students, which is what I had in my head of what it was. Mm-hmm. But it's not that. That's just an element of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really fascinating. And I think we definitely need to dive a bit more into that and follow up with something, with maybe some interviews if we can get Mr. Jean-Paul on himself. Mm-hmm. And certainly a bit more of analysis, maybe a react to some more real classroom situations.
Yes, definitely. We'll be looking into that. And if you're very interested in us going into that, please leave comments below. Remember to like, share and subscribe, because that pushes us on and gets us to go further and deeper into this sort of information. And one last point that I would like to make about this methodology, and I feel like it touches on a lot of the things that we do look at, is what I find is the methodologies that I'm drawn to and that I find work the best are ones that don't just teach English. They encompass other skills as well. So one thing that I really liked about LDL was that the students are also kind of learning to teach. And, you know, the best way to go about that, to communicate. And they're also learning all these interpersonal skills as well to be able to do all this stuff in a group. And, you know, it reminds me of like Suggestopedia, where you kind of you're learning to kind of relax or, you know, kind of act and be more expressive like you do with that. And
yeah, well, the elements of relaxing that he brought into it were this kind of idea that we're all in this together.
Yeah.
We're here to help each other. Don't worry too much about mistakes. It's not about who performs best, but it's about cooperative effort to bring everyone up. So this is the thing you touched on before. And I think that is the kind of the elements, the psychology of the classroom, which tries to make it therefore a more relaxed environment as per Suggestopedia learning.
Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts that you would like to give about LDL?
Like I say, I'd very much like to do sort of follow up to this in terms of interviews and reacts and kind of see a bit more of the thing in action and certainly try it out myself. Unfortunately, it might be some time before I'm working in an environment where I have an opportunity to teach a group class again. But this summer is a possibility. I've got some things on the go this summer which might enable that. And definitely in terms of my own CPD, I really want to dive into it and give it a pure go.
Wonderful. So if you're looking for more information from myself, you can go to teamteacherchina.com. We've got a whole bunch of materials, PowerPoints that you can use instantly in the classroom. We've got a Team Teacher China YouTube channel where we have videos teaching you how to use those materials. Team Teacher English, where we put those materials into a video form for self-study. And Team Teacher Baby, where I take my experience as a teacher and put that into parenting. And if you're looking for more info from Professor Rich,
then you can go to youtube.com slash Professor Rich to see some English teaching. You can catch me weekly live streams on Oxford Online English YouTube channel. You can email us here at eltunderthecovers@gmail.com if you have anything you'd like to contribute to the show. Oh, and also you can do a YouTube search for POG space UK and you would get my alpha version of my new gaming channel, which actually does have some trial content on there at the moment.
Wonderful. If you're
interested in video games.
Perfect. Definitely check it out. Smash that like button, share and subscribe.
And watch 100% of the video and don't click off. Thank you.
Bye.